Welcome to our Bible study of the Gospel according to John. Today is Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue to study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Okay, let's begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious, heavenly, merciful Father, we again come to Thee and thank Thee that Thou, in Thy great love, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior by enduring the wrath of God for us. Father, we cannot comprehend such love. Father, we praise Thee that we can know that our sins are forgiven if we have placed our trust in Christ, and that where He is, so shall we be also. Father, bless us as we continue in our study of Thy Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we left off last week to be picked up here in John chapter 12, verse 21. I think what we'll do is we'll go back a few sentences. We'll pick up in 16 because to lead into 21. We read in chapter 12, verse 16, these things understood not the disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came before Philip, that was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Okay, we read in Psalms 72, verse 11, yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Seba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. Then shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endureth forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Now we read in Mark, also chapter 4, verse 23, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. And he saith unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is, or in this fashion is, the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed onto the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So we see an interesting picture here in Mark 4, where God speaks about the fruit. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, and first the blade, then the ear. And then the full corn, and the corn identifies with the word of God in the ear. Okay, 12:26, John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I on to this hour. Okay, we read in Isaiah, prophesying in chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servants justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. John 12:28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom shall hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, and they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things saith Isaiah, when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Okay, so we read of Isaiah prophesying of these things in chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Jehovah revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, of course, this is the whole picture, is focusing in on Christ at the cross, you know. He is despised and rejected of men, of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Okay, back to John chapter 44, chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandments is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. Okay, chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, Doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know him hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he saith he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Okay, you know, this idea of washing the feet, of course, God is teaching the humility. You know, we have to be humble. But the focus is on the feet. You know, God says that the feet need to be clean. And the feet identify where we are walking in this world. Are we walking in the Word of God, or are we walking in the things of this world? Now, let me see. I think we had some more. This opens up. Okay, yeah, to walk. So this idea of walk is to walk in the Spirit with God and not to walk in the world. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And, you know, when we walk in the Spirit, it's the idea of bringing God's Word to the world, to those around us, those who God has put before us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And that we should walk in these things, that we should fulfill these things, and not the lust of the flesh. And again, if we are walking in the Spirit, means that we have a focus on God's Word. We have a focus on God. And therefore, you know, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because our eyes will not be on the world, but on Christ. God tells us to keep our eyes single, not one eye on the Lord and one eye on the world. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 7, For we walk by faith, not by sight. In 2 Corinthians, and again, of course, you know, we are saved by faith. You know, Christ always said all the time, very often, maybe one day we'll go back and pull all the verses where Christ had said, Thy faith had saved thee, thy faith had saved thee. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we will walk in the light. John 11, 7. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go on to Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. So Christ, of course, is that light, and his life is the light of men, and it is his life that we see, that we might walk. And of course, if we don't see Christ, we don't know how to walk with God. We can't know God but through Christ. Luke 20:46. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greeting in the marketplace, and the highest seats in the synagogue, and the chief rooms at feast, which devour women's widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. So they walk in pride. Of course, that is the picture here. John 12:35. Then Jesus saith unto them, yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness shall come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have that light, believeth in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, he that hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. Again, these things saith Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of them. We read in Acts chapter 14, verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, saith with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of
Lycaonia.
Lycaonia. Okay. Speech of Lycaonia. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes, and ran in among the people, crying out, and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Romans 4:6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So we walk by faith and not by sight. But Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sins live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with Christ, with him, by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in the newness of life. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they are in the flesh, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raiseth up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Okay, so we see this idea of walking. We're to walk in the Spirit with God and not walk in the things of this world. Okay, I may have some verses here on this. It looks like I have it underlined. Nope, I guess not. Okay. I think we ended right around here. I'll pick up here. I'm pretty sure we ended here. Okay, so when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting on whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sup, when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Okay, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the servant was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Jehovah God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God amongst the trees of the garden. And Jehovah God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Jehovah God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And Jehovah God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, you know, this idea, of course, I think we've covered this once before, concerning the dust. And, you know, dust, most of the dust is made up of dead skin. And so this idea of eating the dust is identifying with eating of the flesh, the dead flesh, ultimately. I know there was something else I wanted to comment on here, if I can find it. Let's see. Okay, here, the fig leaves. You know, it's very interesting. You know, I don't know where the idea came from. I mean, everybody's aware that it wasn't necessarily an apple that Adam had eaten. I don't know. Again, that was probably from a sermon from a long time ago, and many people have picked up on that and identified that with Adam's apple, which is kind of an interesting picture. But it was probably the fig tree, the figs that were eaten. We know that the fig tree identifies with national Israel, and this idea of a covering. They sewed fig leaves, okay, and in order to have a covering. And of course, the fig tree is really a covering. Also, it's a nation. The fig tree is a picture of the nation, and that's a covering of the body of Christ that is within that nation. And here in the New Testament side of things, you know, again, I do believe that we are, America is the new Israel that God spoke about. But nevertheless, in the corporate church, at least during the church age, that church is a covering. And the church is a place of dwelling. The church is a place of bringing the word, bringing the gospel. But anyway, getting back to the fig trees, fig leaves, I think it sounds most likely that the fruit that was on that tree was probably a fig tree. Okay. We go to Psalms chapter 41:1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Jehovah will deliver him in time of trouble. Jehovah will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him but unto the will of his enemies. Let me go back and read that. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Jehovah will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Jehovah, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. Then when shall he die, and his name perish with glory? And if he serve, let me see what we want. I'll pick up here in 4. I said, Jehovah, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die, and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall raise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friends, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Jehovah, be merciful unto me. And now we're starting to realize Jesus, this is really talking of Jesus, that Jesus is in the mind of Jesus concerning the fact that his enemy has lifted up his heel against him. But thou, O Jehovah, Father, be merciful unto me and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doeth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be Jehovah God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Okay, we read here in Matthew chapter 16, where Satan enters into him, verse 21, that is to say Peter, which is interesting. You know, because we're going to do a study on the three heavens, and when we start to look into that picture, we're going to see that in heavenly places is identifying where Christ has come and dwelt in our hearts, and we're going to look into the war in heaven. That's probably going to be the title of that study, which maybe will be the first study we'll do. I've pretty much finished that study up, but maybe that'll be the first study we'll pick up on when we go into topical studies after the Gospel of John here. But this idea, of course, war in heaven, you know, we hear so many things when people talk about war in heaven. It's not possible for there to be war in heaven the way they speak about it. The war in heaven was in the hearts of believers. And here is clearly a picture where Peter, you know, one of the apostles, who's with Jesus and being with him for over 3 years now, almost 3.5 years, because at this time period he's getting ready to go to the cross here in Matthew 16. And yet Satan is in Peter. And he casts him out. Get thou behind me. Let's read of it. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. You see, there is Satan being cast out of heaven. Because remember, Christ is, generally speaking, Christ, at least figuratively speaking, the Spirit of God, Christ is in Peter. Of course, the full casting of Satan out of heaven takes place finally at the cross and then the resurrection from that point forward Satan has been cast out. And where has he been cast out to? He's been cast out into the earth. And the earth is what? A picture of the corporate body, spiritually speaking. So anyway, we're going to get into that study. I think it's going to be a very interesting study. Okay, but he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." And there's this idea of taking up the cross, you know, to be crucified with Christ. And that's crucifying the flesh. To be suffering in the flesh by turning from sin and turning, of course, to Christ. So let me go back and reread that. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross," to deny things of this world, the things of the flesh, "and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Same language we're reading in John here. "For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and when he shall reward, and then he shall reward every man according to his work." And I was listening to someone giving a study recently. I just listened for a little while, and I've heard this before, trying to identify the difference between the spirit and the soul. As if the man, you know, as if a man has his own spirit and his soul. You know, the soul is the real person. You know, the soul is what lives eternally. But the spirit, it's either the spirit of Christ or the spirit of Antichrist. If you have not the spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Okay, so that's the spirit that is being spoken of. Let's read this again. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. But what is it a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And again, in man, the spirit of man is either the spirit of Antichrist or the spirit of Christ. You are either dwelling and living in the kingdom of Satan or in the kingdom of God. And of course, we read about that. We've looked at this, the beast in Revelations, which is collectively mankind. The number of the beast is the number of man. And the number is 666, identifying with two-thirds. You know, we're going to do an in-depth study on these things also again. I know we've covered this in Revelation some time back, and we've probably picked up on this a few times. But it'll be a good study for a topical study. This spirit, there are only two spirits. But the Bible is absolutely crystal clear. There's only two spirits. Okay, and again, that one spirit is the spirit of man, which is identifying with Satan, or it's the spirit of God, which identifies with the Holy Spirit, identifies with Christ himself. I don't know if I finished reading it, so let's finish reading those last few verses. "So what as a profit a man that he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." And remember, we are his workmanship that we walk in. I believe we read about that in Ephesians chapter 2. Luke 22, verse 24. "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appointed unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he saith, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Okay, we read in Luke chapter 13:10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and saith unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and saith unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, do it not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. All right, again in Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, or nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surname Iscariot. Again, there is the picture of Satan into an individual. And, you know, our hearts are the playground of Satan, until, of course, he is cast out and we are born again. So then entered Satan into Judas, surname Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto him. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Okay, so picture of Satan entering into Judas. Okay, we read in Acts chapter 5. Verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter saith, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remaineth, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men rose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Okay, again, Satan filling the heart of this individual. We read in 2 Corinthians, which again is identifying with Satan himself, is transformed into an angel of light, a messenger of light, going into men. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, No man shall stop me of these boastings in the regions of Acheria. Let's see, make sure how to pronounce this. Acheria?
Achaia.
Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knows, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desireth occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, the Bible refers to Satan as a cherubim, a covering cherubim. He was to cover, protect, and keep, Adam and Eve in paradise. He was created for that purpose. And God refers to him as a cherubim and said, I have made thee so to look over the creation, to watch over the creation. Okay, so for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing of his ministers, who also be transformed as to ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So again, these are false Christs, false prophets, deceitful workers that transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. We read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, and unto the angel, the messenger of the church in Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like unto fine brass. I know thy works and charity. You know, this idea of this picture unto the messenger of the church of Thyatira, right? You know, the focusing in, of course, this is the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, in the saved, in the church. And holy men of old spake or wrote as God the Holy Spirit moved them. And, of course, this is unto delivered unto John on the island of Patmos. So these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like unto fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, remember, Abraham had two sons, okay? Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, spiritual fornication, and to eat and things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. And of course, this is identifying with the corporate body, the corporate church. And remember, there's the Jerusalem above and the Jerusalem below. And the message of both good and bad, good for blessings and judgment, is given to the one son who has the ears to hear. And that one son is to deliver the message on to the son that doesn't have the ears to hear. Again, Abraham had two sons. And when we understand that, then we can kind of put this into an appreciation and kind of get a better understanding of what God is speaking of, because there's the blessing and the curse, the blessing and the curse in all seven churches. So notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave a space to repent of a fornication, the spiritual fornication, going after other gods, going after another Jesus. And she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. This is talking about the apostasia, the great falling away, that which takes place at the ends of the world, which we are far well spent. Except they repent. Let me step back a sentence. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation. And that word great tribulation is only used a couple of times in the Greek, a few times in the New Testament. I believe it's megas tripulis, I believe is the Greek. Except they repent of their deeds and I will kill her children with death. You know, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. So some people are unable to see this. And that's why we know that there's still a people that are saved in the church. And they come out. And they're still fed, too, because remember, in some of these churches, they actually read a Bible, particularly King James, but even a watered-down Bible, to some degree, we get fed. King James, I think, in the English is probably the best. Well, I know it's one of the best, mostly because we can trace it back to the original Greek and Hebrew. But also, it's very accurate. I know that my studies over the years, for myself, has proven that it's very accurate. You know, a few changes from time to time because some words in the Greek, you know, in the English language is very rich. And some words in the Greek, and this is true in the Hebrew also, has many different meanings, many different translations, and it has to be translated by someone who understands the language, of course, but it has to be translated in light of the context to get the proper understanding and have the proper interpretation. But by God's mercy, we have the concordances. We can look at the Greek, we can look at the Hebrew, and we can test other ideas or thoughts, especially in verses that are hard to be understood. Or appear to have some kind of a contradiction from verses in other places. So, you know, again, when we look deep into these things, we can find that harmony. So as many as have not this doctrine and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. They have the faith in Christ. They heard the word, they responded. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the morning star is Christ. Okay, I think what we'll do is we'll end there. We'll pick this up on our next week, looking into the new commandment, which is the love. And it's really not a new commandment, ultimately. But we'll look into that next week. Okay, if nobody has anything, we'll close down for the evening.
John?
Yep, go right ahead.
You don't mind if I ask something here? Did you ever wonder why, like, it came to my mind again when you were reading around the beginning of this session tonight about how in Isaiah they rejected Christ. I don't know. It doesn't say, right? There's an allusion to it. It never doesn't say Christ directly, but anyway, we know that it's an allusion to that. Did you ever wonder why would people reject Christ? Did you ever wonder about that?
Well, yeah, and the answer ultimately is because they are so lost in the things of the flesh that their heart, you know, the Bible tells us the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And without Christ, the further away we are from God, then the more that we are deceived by the things of this world. And remember, you know, when you live in the lust of the flesh, the things of the desire of the flesh, and you have not God's word, okay, and when God's word comes, it becomes a problem to that person who is living in the flesh. It's contrary to what their desires are, and they are blinded. You know, Satan is blinded. He's deceived, self-deceived. And so is everybody that has not turned to the Lord. You know, I was speaking with someone recently, and the things that they were saying and talking, You know, I tried to make the point that those things are, you know, and they were claiming to be saved, claiming that they had a relationship with Christ. And then I spoke to them about the heart, you know, that these are the things and the treasures of your heart that you're pulling out. You need to turn to Christ, repent those things, and get into the Word. So people don't have that. If you notice, of course, the, you know, Christian nations, okay, those nations that are not Christian, you know, they seem to have no respect for life, and they have no problem really, you know, injuring or killing or torturing people of the flesh. And then you have, of course, you know, you have the sociopaths that, you know, they seem to have no conscience, and they have no concern about, they don't... they can't appreciate the suffering of another person. They have no empathy. So God speaks of the mind being seared, okay? You know, if you live in a particular sin, and the grosser the sin, the worse the problem, but if you live in a particular sin for a long time, your conscience is seared. And even when you try to turn to God, you know, that your conscience being seared drives you back to that sin because it's so etched into your brain and you're so blind. But by God's mercy, of course, we can be saved. But that, if you have a lot of problems from the past and lived in really deep, terrible sins and finally turned to God by God's mercy, you know, you may be still suffering to some degree in the mind, but again, that's why when you realize that you're falling back into that which has been etched in your mind so strongly, that which you have, you know, turned from finally, from time to time, temptation comes. And it doesn't come from within, it comes from without, something in the world, something you see. And then you respond to that, and you realize you're falling into sin, and that is why we need to set a watch on our heart. That is why we have to fill our heart with the treasures of God's Word, and not the things of the flesh. And we need to turn to God and repent that sin in that time, at that moment, in conversation with God. It gives us the strength, the ability, that sin falls away because we're no longer in that sin. We're talking to God, the Father. That's why we need to walk with God, try to be as conscious as possible that God is with us at all times, and we're here to serve Him, and that our desire is His desire of us. And as He tells us in His Word, you know, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So, yeah, some people are so far lost, okay, they have no concerns. Again, I've known people who have no empathy for people at all that have done horrible, horrible things, even killing people, and they just walk along as if nothing had happened. You know, I don't know if you remember the story most recently, right before Charlie was assassinated, with that young woman. It was so sad, that young woman is sitting on that train in that seat, and that individual just got up and just cut her throat. And, I mean, that's because Satan is dwelling in that person. The devils are in these people. And again, you know, their soul, their heart is the playground of Satan and his demons. And they live in man, because remember that's the spirit. You know, everyone has a spirit in them. It's either the spirit of man or the spirit of God, of Christ, the spirit of Christ or the spirit of Antichrist. So yeah, it's because they are so lost and so blinded. That's the problem. Because, you know, I remember when I even began reading the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament, why did the Israelites constantly turn from God, you know, during those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, coming out and building an idol and worshiping an idol while Moses was up on the mountain? And it happened so quickly, okay? Because, you know, we're lost in a lost world, and we are blinded by the sins that we live in. And the hearts of men are desperately wicked. So anyway, hopefully that...
So it's as if they see Christ, but then they see Christ as something else, not as He really is. If you know what I'm trying to say here, maybe...
Yeah, well, for those people who are in a Christian environment and are really turning from God... It's because, again, it gets back to desire. It gets back to the things of the flesh. It gets back to the idea that the conscience has been seared, and God speaks about them. We read about that tonight, the false prophets and false teachers. We read about that. You know, again, the church is filled with people who tell stories, bring in the doctrines of men. Every once in a while, again, when I'm on YouTube, I'll see an interesting topic that's about Christ, you know, about the Bible, and I'll look into it to see once whether, and from time to time I find somebody who is teaching good things, but mostly it's not the case. And these people are bringing in damnable heresies. They're reading the Bible and privately interpreting it and bringing out their own doctrines. And that brings a sense of pride inside themselves. They want to, lead people and draw people to themselves, okay? And that's a big test in the church, you know. If you are in a church and or in any place where, you know, people are preaching or teaching the Word of God, if you're any place, if they're not leading you to Christ, if they're not trying to disciple you, then they're leading you to themselves. And it doesn't take long to figure that out once you realize and think about this and listen to people, you know. I was listening recently. I see a lot of videos up there recently with Billy Graham. Is that his name? Billy Graham. He was a very good teacher. I remember listening to him many, many years ago as I was coming to Christ, and he always captured me with his teaching. And I've been picking up on a few places. I guess there's a website that just comes up, and because when you watch a video, then more videos of that type will come up, or that particular from that particular YouTube site. And so I've been hearing a lot of teaching. Usually when I go to sleep, maybe I'll, put a YouTube with Billy Graham teaching, you know, just recently since I found him, and get a good, good teaching from him. He really understood, and I truly believe he was a true child of God.
Mm. Okay, but you could relate to what I was saying, that maybe they see Christ, but then they don't see him as he is. They see something. They see something else. They somehow, maybe they're projecting their fears they have within themselves, and they can't see. Like you were saying, you were quoting from the Bible about, or you were saying about how people are blind. So then they see Christ, they're blinded. So they're seeing, they're projecting something else onto.
Right, but they're blinded. They're blinded by their own lust. And we read a little bit about that with the scribes and the Pharisees, who like to make long prayers and be seen of people. You know, in other words, it's all about them, drawing people to them. And Christ was a judgment upon them just by his presence, just by his teaching, just by the things that he'd done. And he became a problem to them because he was interrupting their desire of men, leading men after themselves instead of to Christ. Again, it gets back to the same thing. Anybody who's preaching a false gospel, you know, just listen for a while. I mean, so we all make mistakes, so we got to be careful here. But doctrines of men, anybody teaching doctrines of men and it's their own doctrines, their own ideas. If you listen very carefully, you'll start to see the pride in them on what they are teaching and thinking and bringing forward and the following that they have and so on and so forth. This was the problems of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were committing the unforgivable sin. And the unforgivable sin is to think that Christ was being driven by Satan, that he was of Beelzebub. And that's the unforgivable sin.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you fall that deep into that sin, you'll never come out of it. And anybody who has lived or did that sin wants no part with Christ. You know, just wants no part. So, you know, I know people sometimes would be concerned whether they, committed the unforgivable sin. Maybe even before you really even knew who Christ was and just didn't even pay attention. You didn't hear his word. You didn't know nothing. But yeah, this is as much of Satan as anything else or whatever people might think. But once you come to the presence of Christ and hear the teachings of his words, you know, you might reject them. And at another point, eventually you might accept them. The thing is, we say by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the faith that we are saved by. And we become his workmanship that we should walk in his teachings, in his faith, in his word. So we are not saved by the faith that we have in Christ. We are saved by the faith of Christ. That's the faith we have in us. It's not the faith of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Again, we are saved by grace through faith. That's the vehicle. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Bible tells us, you know, there is a way that seemeth right unto the man, unto a man, but the end thereof is eternal damnation. And matter of fact, the person I was talking about, that was one of the things, talking about the good works. And I tried to make the point to that person, you know, you're not saved by your works. The works aren't going to get you anywhere. The works is a reflection of your salvation. The works is the reflection of the fact that Christ is working you, in you, that you, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and that we walk in him in the Spirit. So,
okay. Thanks.
Okay, Tim. Good.
Well, it was. How are you? How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. And yourself?
I'm okay. And Eric, how are you?
Hey, Tim. I'm good. Thank you. You're doing well?
Yeah. Okay. I'm doing all right.
Okay. Well, blessings.
All right. So.
Yeah, we'll end our study for the night. Do you have any other questions, or we'll end?
I don't have anything else.
Okay. All right. So we'll end our study for the night. We'll pick up next Wednesday, right here where we're leaving off. We'll pick up on the new commandment. That would be John. I think it's chapter 13, isn't it? Let me take a quick look.
We were talking maybe a two weeks ago about the mountain. Read something. Saying
say that again?
About how we were gods, and you said that maybe you were going to do...
Yeah, I will do a topical study on that after we finish the Gospel of John. Again, I think that's what we're going to go from this point, is to topical studies. I really like topical studies, dig down deep into... You know, a mystery maybe, or a truth of some type, and then focus in through the Bible to go through the Bible to lead out all the places that will bear witness of a conclusion that we might have. But even a whatever conclusion we have, we always have to you know, compare it or to the rest of Scriptures. You know, and we have to be ready to receive correction and changes in our thinking and our minds. Because correction is grievous to those who have forsaken the way. And that also identifies with pride, you know. So if a person is stubborn, even though the truth has been laid out, and they just refuse to want to even see it. And sometimes they may even know, but they just don't accept it anyway, for whatever reasons. I mean, look, man is lost in a lost world. You know, all of us at some point in time were lost in a lost world until we are found, till Christ finds us.
Anyway, if we are God, we're severely limited in our sphere, right? Right. And nobody seems to be have that power.
what do you mean, as God? Well, you, remember, we saw the first place we saw that man is referred to as God. We read about was in Genesis. I think it was chapter 3 we read a little while ago, and Satan said a truth. You know, he takes scriptures and he twists it, and he said a truth. You know, to Eve. You know, the day that thou eatest off of that tree, ye shall be like the gods, to know good and evil. So to know good and evil brings us to being as a god. Now we have something. That again brings us into an eternity, one way or another. Either eternity in everlasting contempt, or in paradise with Christ, with God. So, but, you know, again, we'll do a study on that. Not that we are as gods of any power or authority, but to a degree we are above the creation. We are to rule over the creation, you know, and care for the creation. And so, but we'll get into that subject, and hopefully that subject will give a more clarity of an appreciation of an understanding of that. But, you know, Christ said himself, "Have not I told you and said to you, ye are gods?" Remember when he called himself the Son of God, and they said, you know, you're telling you by calling yourself the Son of God, you're making yourself equal with God. You're saying you are God. And he said, have you not read, have you not heard that I have said? And that's an interesting thing. I'm pretty sure he said, I have said that ye are gods. Okay. So we'll look into that to get a better appreciation. Not a level of God and a level of Christ or the level of Jehovah the Father, but remember, then we have that picture in, I think it's, let me think, it's in 17, I think it's Luke 7, chapter 17, I don't remember, where Christ is praying to the Father. He's about ready to go to the cross, and, you know, and it's the night of his betrayal, and he tells them, you know, come stay here and watch with me. And every time he went over to pray, and when he came back, you know, he just went over yonder a wee bit. When he came back, they were sleeping, you know. And I think that was three times that he came back and forth. But the thing is, in that prayer, the final prayer, where he spoke about God, he says that, he speaks about he being in the Father, and the Father in him, and we in him, and he in us, and ultimately bringing us together as one, to be one with the Father, one with the Son. And again, I think that really is the picture that brings us into being, in the idea of being a God in Christ Jesus, because Christ is the creator of the world. You know, God is God. He's the Father. But we'll see if we can get a better appreciation when we get into that subject. We need a lot of scripture to just lay against itself, and let it give us the picture that we're looking for, and the knowledge. You know, there's quite a few mysteries that God refers to in the Bible as mysteries. I know I'd done a study on mysteries a long time ago. I'll go dig that up and maybe, you know, add to it or whatever, and look at the different mysteries that God reveals to us, to his children. So that'll be another study we'll focus in on some point in the near future, hope. Okay, let's close down for now. It's 8:45. We'll be back next Wednesday, Lord willing, and we'll pick it up there at John 13, verse 31. Good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Good night.